Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illahi sayyidil mursaleen. May Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble and honored of all prophets, the chief of the messengers, Nabiyina Muhammad, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Likewise, all of his family and companions in entirety. Amma ba'd. As for what follows, then on this evening, preceding the 10th day of the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, the third month of the year 1439, we gather together here at Markaz Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, in the city of Slough. May Allah Ta'ala bless its organizers, its supporters, its attendees, its families, its community, with the best of this life and the best of the next life. I thank you all for inviting me and for thinking well of me. While I don't deserve the thoughts that you have to this level, I ask Allah Ta'ala that He makes some benefit occur in this place, in His house, this evening, and that we draw near to Him, Jalla wa Ala, through that benefit, and that we're not neglectful about what we gain of benefit, and that we're grateful to Allah Ta'ala for the benefit we gain. وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala promises, if you are grateful for what you have, if you are grateful for anything, it's an open promise, then I will certainly increase you. مَفْهُومُ الْمُخَالَفَةِ. The opposite understanding, if you are ungrateful for the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, and you do not uphold gratitude in your speech, and in your actions, and in your hearts, then you do not deserve an increase. In fact, you deserve to be deprived of that blessing. So while it is a great blessing that Allah Ta'ala bestows upon us unity and love for the sake of Allah, and coming together for His face and seeking benefit in His religion, this is from the greatest blessings a person can enjoy in this life. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us grateful, to make us people who recognize it whenever we have it, and to make us people who seek an increase in it. We ask Allah Ta'ala for that in safety and in good health. This evening, by the permission of Allah Ta'ala, we have a study of a very important dua. One simple supplication of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that provides solutions, remedies, cures for what afflicts millions and millions of people all over the world. The catastrophes that we witness of severe depression, the illness of anxiety and its various manifestations, anxiety attacks that some people have that can ruin a person's life, his livelihood, his family life, his business life. And he seeks solutions through expensive medical treatments. He seeks out chemical treatments. He seeks out pills, injections, perhaps surgeries. He seeks out treatments. He seeks out recovery programs. He seeks out support groups from the medical field, from psychologists, psychiatrists, and everything. Yet Allah Ta'ala did not send down any illness, except He has sent down the cure. Whoever knows it, they know it. And whoever is ignorant of it, they're ignorant of it. Our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, promised us a cure for depression and anxiety with a dua that has to be learned. It is yanbaghi, it's upon us that we learn this dua, that we understand this dua, and that we use this dua when we face what Allah Ta'ala has decreed for us in this brief life of ours, of calamities that are connected to sadness, grief, anxiety, and depression. For surely we taste some of that in this life. We have losses. We are tried through the losses of family members. We will lose someone sooner or later. We will become sad. Sadness will afflict us. Yet we don't live like those people around us, tortured individuals, tortured in their hearts because they've rejected Allah Ta'ala, because they refuse to submit to the qadr of Allah Ta'ala. You know, you've seen non-Muslims around you. They lose a child. They lose a family member. Maybe some negligence was involved. They spend 30, 40, 50 years torturing themselves. Why did I do that? Why did I take the child out to the park? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Had I only done this? They spend their entire lives and they never recover from it because they don't know what to do. They're without guidance. They're dalun. The Muslim, alhamdulillah, from the perfection of the character exemplified and taught by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has taught us to be recipients, to be those who receive the qadr of Allah ta'ala as his slaves, as his servants, as those who recognize his mulk, his dominion, his ownership of everything. And we simply say, at the strike of a great calamity, the loss of a life or great property, inna lillahi. We're the property of Allah. This child I lost, this calamity I'm suffering, this great amount of wealth I've lost, it was all the property of Allah. We are all the property of Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we're all going back to Allah. The child I lost, the suffering that I'm going through, nothing was going to happen except this. I've been created to be tested. My Lord is watching me. My actions are being recorded. My reactions are observed and recorded. My statements are for me or against me on the day of judgment. So the Muslim has in mind, he has not been created to frolic about and enjoy everything. He's been created to be given some things, and he's tested through him being given those things, enjoying them. And then he's been tested as well through the removal of those things and how they're taken from him. How does he respond? How does he respond to the decree of his Lord? We beg Allah Ta'ala that he make us all pleased with his decree and stable throughout the calamities that we face in this life. Let us read along from the book called Fiqh al-Adi'iyya wal-Adhkar, a great book, an exemplary book in the field of supplications and phrases of remembrance. The fiqh of that, the understanding of the principles connected to that, a masterful book written by Sheikh Abdul Razzaq ibn al-Muhaddith al-Alama Abdul Muhsin al-Badr al-Abbad, hafidhahum Allah. May Allah preserve the author of the book and his father. A great book, and we're reading simply tonight a few pages about one supplication and some principles regarding it. We're going to look at a supplication, introducing it with a very beautiful introduction, and then four basic principles that will help us understand the supplication and make sure that our hearts are connected to the meaning so that we get the benefit of this supplication when we need it. On page 643 of the printing that has both volumes that were previously printed separately, on that page, there is the title Du'a ul-Ghammi wal-Hammi wal-Huzn, the supplication for depression, anxiety, and sadness. Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ. The servant in this life, the person, the worshipper, in this worldly life, قَدْ يُصَابُ بِآلَامٍ مُتَنَوِّعَةٍ. He can be tried, he can be put to test through a number of different painful things that he has to go through. وَقَدْ يَرِدُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ وَارِدَاتٌ مُتَعَدِّدَةٌ. A number of things can afflict his heart of different varieties. تُؤَرِّقُ قَلْبَهُ. It upset and hurt his heart. وَتُؤْلِمُ نَفْسَهُ. And cause pain to his soul. وَتَجْلِبُ لَهُ الْكَدَرَ وَالضِّيقُ. And cause him to be stained and feel constricted in this life. فَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الْأَلَمُ الَّذِي يُصِيبُ الْقَلْبَ. If that thing that afflicts the heart, مُتَعَلِّقًا بِأُمُورٍ مَاضِيَةٍ, is connected to things that have passed already, they have already taken place, فَهُوَ حُزْن. Then this state is called sadness, حُزْن, being sad about what happened in the past. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُتَعَلِّقًا بِأُمُورٍ مُسْتَقْبَلَةٍ. And if that state of his heart is because of things that he fears that are coming in the future, فَهُوَ هَمٌّ. Then it is ham. The word in Arabic is ham, like anxiety or being very worried about what's going to happen. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُتَعَلِّقًا بِوَاقِعِ الْإِنسَانِ وَحَاضِرِهِ. And if that worry and that affliction touching his heart is about his present state and what's happening now, فَهُوَ غَمٌّ. Is perhaps we could say depression or sadness regarding the current state of the person. So we have these three phrases. which are synonymous, yet they are connected to the time stages that a person is considering with his sadness. Sadness about the past, sadness and worry about the present, sadness and worry about what's coming in the future. وَهَذِهِ الْأُمُورُ الثَّلَاثَةِ These three matters, الْحُزْن وَالْهَمُّ وَالْغَمُ Sadness, anxiety, depression. إِنَّمَا تَزُولُ عَنِ الْقَلْبِ وَتَنْجَلِي عَنِ الْفُؤَادِ They can be removed from the heart and gone, done away with from the chest. بِالْعَوْدَةِ الصَّادِقَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ By way of a genuine, honest return back to Allah. وَتَمَامِ الْإِنْكِسَارِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ And being a person who is completely showing his need to Allah, in front of Allah. وَتَذَلُّلِ لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ And servitude and humility in submission to Him, the Most High, the Glorified and Most High. وَالْخُضُوعِ لَهُ And surrendering unto Him. وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ لِأَمْرِهِ And submitting and complying to His order. وَالْإِيمَانِ بِقَضَائِهِ وَقَدَرِهِ And by believing in His decree and in His predetermined plan. وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ And in knowing Him, the Glorified One. وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ And in knowing His names and His attributes. وَالْإِيمَانِ بِكِتَابِهِ And in believing and through believing in His books of revelation. وَالْعِنَايَةِ بِقِرَاءَتِهِ وَتَدَبُرِهِ His book of revelation, specifically the Qur'an, and through a connection to or a concern with its reading and its contemplation. وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا فِيهِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا فِيهِ And acting in accordance to what is in that book, the Qur'an. فَبِذَلِكَ لَا بِغَيْرِهِ تَزُولُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ And through that and nothing else, these matters can be done away with. They can go away. وَيَنْشَرِحُ الصَّدْرُ And the chest can reach a state of relaxation. وَتَتَحَقَّقُ السَّعَادَةُ And happiness can be actualized and attained. Now he brings the hadith. جَاءَ فِي الْمُسْنَدِ لِلْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدِ It comes in the book called Al-Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah وَصَحِيحِ ibn Hibban And in the authentic compilation by the author called Ibn Hibban, his book is the Taqasim wal-Anwa', commonly referred to as Sahih Ibn Hibban, wa ghayrihima, and other source books of hadith, an Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the great scholar of fiqh from the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, he died in the year 32, and it's been said the year 33, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, قال that the Prophet may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace said ما قال عبد قط إذا أصابه هم أو حزن No servant, no worshipper has ever said what's coming when sadness or anxiety, grief, depression overtakes him. Here is the supplication and we're going to learn that no one says this except there is a result. A fantastic result. Here's the supplication. Allahumma inni abduka. O Allah, I am your abd. I am your worshipful servant. Wabnu abdika. And I am your, I'm the son of your worshipful servant. I'm the son of your worshipful servant. Ladies, Shaykh bin Baz and other scholars, all the way back to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumallahu jami'an, They said it's more appropriate that you change this to the feminine version of those statements. So you say, Allahumma inni amatuk. Oh Allah, I am your female slave. Yeah? Bintu abdik. The daughter of your worshipful slave. Yeah? Then the rest, ibnu amatik. And he is the son of your female slave. My father being the son of the female slave. So he reminds himself he is the worshipper of Allah and all of his ancestors have been worshippers of Allah. Whether they submitted or not here, the ubudiyya is the submission to the qadr of Allah within his creation. Not necessarily that they were devout and righteous worshippers of Allah, but every one of the creation is under this general ubudiyya being under the dominant authority of Allah Ta'ala. Nasiyati biyadik, my forelock is in your hand, meaning you have total control of me. Maldin fiya hukmuka, your verdict is enacted upon me in totality, in reality. Adlun fiya qada'uk, and your verdict and your decree upon me is fair and just. As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak. Those of you who have that tweet that I sent out that have the dua on one screen, you might want to have that with you now. Yeah, have you seen that? There's a tweet about this evening. If you can go to 1MM Education, my Twitter line, you'll see within the most recent tweets, a tweet that has this dua. So you might want to have it on the screen in front of you. And it's been color-coded with three parts, dissecting the supplication into three easy parts. First part, I think, is white, and then yellow, and then white, right? Tayyib. So we've just finished the first third of the supplication, one third of the way through. Identifying yourself and your relationship to Allah. That you are the servant of Allah Ta'ala. He has control over you, dominion over you, authority over you. And you accept that role. And you acknowledge that role that you have. Then the second part of the dua begins with the mentioning of Allah's names. Where the servant says, As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak. I ask you, by every name that you have. By every name that you have. How many names does Allah have? Huh? How many? More than 99, right away. Cuts to the chase. Good answer. Your name? Zayd? May Allah bless you, Zayd. May Allah bless your family. Allahumma barik. Allah Ta'ala has 99 names that are specific to a certain reward, but they're not limited to 99 names, as we'll see from this hadith. This hadith is what proves that Allah Ta'ala has more than 99 names. For those who say Allah only has 99 names, you have no authority to limit Allah's names to 99. There are 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Whoever collects them, implements them, lives by them, calls upon Allah with them, then he enters paradise through those 99 names. That's a set of names that has a specific reward along with it, according to the hadith in the Sunan of Abi Dawud and others. However, Allah Ta'ala has more names than those 99. How do we know? As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak. I ask you by every name that you have. Now we see a breakdown of every name that Allah has. What does that mean? There are categories. Sammayta bihi nafsak. That you have named yourself with. A name that you have named yourself with. أَوْ أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ. Or you've sent that name down in your book of revelation. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ. Or you've taught that name to one of your creation. Now the last category of names. أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. Or you have kept that name within the knowledge of the unseen that only you have, only with yourself. That means there are names of Allah Ta'ala that He has taught some of His servants that haven't reached us. And there are names of Allah Ta'ala that He has kept to Himself and not taught anyone. We are calling upon Allah Ta'ala with those names that no prophet ever knew. This is an amazing supplication. You're calling upon Allah with the names of Allah that no prophet ever knew. Meaning specifically to know those names. By saying the names that you have kept with yourself and not taught to anyone. So you're calling upon Allah Ta'ala by His names. Now what is requested? Here's the request. Connect this back to the word as'aluka. I ask you, O Allah, for what? أَن تَجَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي. I ask that you make the Qur'an the spring, the blossoming, the blooming of my heart, that which brings life to my heart. وَنُورَ صَدْرِي, and the light of my chest, that the Qur'an as well be the light of my chest. وَجِلَاءَ حُزْنِي, and that which does away with my sadness. Here's where we're asking for the removal of my sadness. وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي, and the going away, the doing away of my concern or my anxiety. Yeah. Now, whoever says that dua, here's what happens. No servant says this dua, illa, with this negation and then this affirmation. No one makes this dua except that something happens. Except, أذهب الله عز وجل همه. Except that Allah does away with his anxiety. وَأَبْدَلَهُ مَكَانَ حُزْنِهِ فَرَحًا. And Allah exchanges in place of his depression or sadness, joy and happiness. فَرَحًا. Allahu Akbar. The companions, when they heard this narration, they said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. Is it not appropriate that we all learn those words? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ajal, of course, absolutely. يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ سَمِعَهُنَّ أَن يَتَعَلَّمَهُنَّ. It is essential, appropriate, important, necessary, befitting, you could say, for whoever hears those words, that he memorize them. So then that screen that you can get will have the dua from the beginning to the end on it, and the setup of the hadith, and the mention of the what takes place, and the response for those who make this supplication is removed from that screen, and you have the wording of the hadith, that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is yanbaghi. It is appropriate and befitting the believer that he memorize this dua. Where's this hadith found? Who can give me two books where it's found? The Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad and the Sahih of Al-Imam Ibn Hibban rahimahumallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says, فَهَذِهِ كَلِمَاتٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. These are some amazing words. Some words of great status. يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهَا. It is appropriate for the Muslim. It's befitting the case of the Muslim that he learn them. وَأَنْ يَحْرِسَ عَلَى قَوْلِهَا. And that he be vigilant about saying them. عِنْدَمَا يُصَابُ بِالْحُزْنِ. When he is stricken with sadness, أو الهم, or depression, أو الغم, or anxiety. How much our society is struck with these things. وليعلم كذلك أن هؤلاء الكلمات. And let him know that as well, such words, these words, إنما تكون نافعة له, they will be of benefit to him إذا فهم مدلولها. Once he understands the meanings that they indicate. وَحَقَّقَ مَقْصُودَهَا. And he actualizes the intended goal of those words. Meaning, I'm your abd, I'm your servant. So where's your servitude? Don't tell Allah you're his servant and remain disobedient and negligent of your duties and weak in submission and resistant to his orders. But rather fulfill the wordings. I'm your servant. So here's my servitude. Here's my ubudiyya. Here's me submitting to you in worship and in acceptance, in obedience, and so on. وَعَمِلَ بِمَا دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ. And that he acts by the meanings that are proven through these words. أَمَّا الْإِتْيَانُ بِالْأَدْعِيَةِ الْمَأْثُورَةِ. As for just saying phrases of dhikr, supplications that have been reported, meaning from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَالْأَذْكَارِ الْمَشْرُوعَ. And the phrases of remembrance that are legislated for various occasions, دُونَ فَهْمٍ لِمَعَانِيهَا, without understanding the meanings of those things, وَدُونَ تَحْقِيقٍ لِمَقَاصِدِهَا, and without accomplishing the goal, the results that are supposed to be found within a person from those meanings, فَإِنَّ هَذَا قَلِيلُ تَأْثِيرٍ. This is something of very little benefit. It doesn't take place. Results don't happen much with this kind of approach. عديم الفائدة. Without any benefit. وَإِذَا تَأَمَّلْنَا هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ. And if we were to contemplate this supplication, نَجِدُ أَنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ أَرْبَعَةَ أُصُولٍ عَظِيمًا. We would find that this dua contains four highly important principles or fundamentals. لا سبيل للعبد إلى نيل السعادة. And there is no way for a servant to attain bliss, to attain happiness, وزوال الهم والغم والحزن, and to do away with his anxiety, depression, and sadness, إلا بالإتيان بها وتحقيقها. Except that he comes with these four principles, and he actualizes these four principles. That's the focus of our study this evening now, looking at these four basic elements that are fundamental as it relates to what's found in this supplication. Through this study, we hope that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with an understanding of this supplication. And it's not just mere words that we rattle off, but that we get the benefit of this supplication by understanding it and by relying on what is mentioned in it, by actualizing that, by being part of that interaction between ourselves and our Lord. أَمَّا الْأَصْلُ الْأَوَّلُ. As for the first one, the first foundational matter of the four. فَهُوَ تَحْقِيقُ الْعِبَادَةِ لِلَّهِ. It is the actualization of the worship of Allah alone. وَتَمَامِ الْإِنْكِسَارِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And to come like a broken person who needs fixed in front of Allah. That you come to Him in need and you show Him your need of Him. وَالْخُضُوعِ لَهُ. And your submissiveness and your humble surrender unto Him. وَاَعْتِرَافِهِ بِأَنَّهُ مَخْلُوقٌ لِلَّهِ. And that the servant acknowledges and confesses that he is a creation of Allah. مَمْلُوكٌ لَهُ. Owned property of Allah. هُوَ وَآبَاؤُهُ وَأُمَّهَاتُهُ. He and his fathers, his ancestors, and his mothers, his male and female ancestors, they are all the owned property of Allah. ابْتِدَاءً مِنْ أَبَوَيْهِ الْقَرِيبَيْنِ. Beginning with his most immediate parents, meaning his mother and his father. وَانْتِهَاءً إِلَىٰ آدَمَ وَحَوَّىٰ. Going all the way back to his most distant parents, Adam and Hawa. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ. And thus he says in this dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي عَبْدُكَ. O Allah, I am your worshipful servant. وَابْنُ عَبْدِكَ. And I am the son of your worshipful servant. وَابْنُ أَمَتِكَ. And I am the son of, or my father is the son of, your female servant. فَالْكُلُّ مَمَالِيكٌ. مَمَالِيكُ لِلَّهِ. All of them, they are the owned property of Allah. وَهُوَ خَالِقُهُمْ. And He alone is their creator. وَرَبُّهُمْ وَسَيِّدُهُمْ. He is their Lord and sustainer. And He is their owner. وَمُدَبِّرُ شُؤُونِهِمْ. And He is the one who manages all of their affairs. أَلَّذِي لَا غِنَى لَهُمْ عَنْهُ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. And He is the one who they have no independence from for even the blink of an eye. وَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ مِنْ مَنْ يَعُوذُونَ بِهِ. وَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ مَنْ يَعُوذُونَ بِهِ. And they have no one, the servants have no one to seek refuge with other than Him. وَيَلُوذُونَ بِهِ سِوَاهُ. And that they seek shelter with that object other than Allah. They have no one other than Allah for shelter or refuge. وَمِنْ تَحْقِيقِ ذَلِكِ. And how that becomes actualized is التزام العبد عبوديته سبحانه. That the servant remain in a state of servitude to Allah, the glorified one. من الذل والخضوع. In humble surrender and in submission والانكسار والإنابة. And in his turning himself over and showing his need to Allah and in repenting to Allah. وَامْتِثَالِ الْأَوَامِرِ. And in fulfilling the orders of Allah. وَاجْتِنَابِ النَّوَاهِ. And in staying away from prohibited matters. وَدَوَامِ الْإِفْتِقَارِ إِلَيْهِ. And remaining cognizant and recognizing his state of need for what Allah has. وَاللَّجَأِ إِلَيْهِ. And returning to Him for refuge and protection. وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةِ بِهِ. And seeking assistance from Him. وَتَوَكُلِ عَلَيْهِ. And placing His trust upon Him alone. وَالْإِسْتِعَاذَةِ بِهِ. And in seeking refuge with Him. وَأَلَّا يَتَعَلَّقَ الْقَلْبُ بِغَيْرِهِ. And that His heart does not become attached to other than Him. مَحَبَّةً. in the love of worship that he has for Allah, wa khawfan wa raja'an, and in the fear and in the hope that he has from Allah Ta'ala. That's the first principle, that he actualize al-ubudiyya, servitude. From the statement in the dua, Allahumma inni abduka. O Allah, I am your worshipful servant. Wa amma al-aslu thani. As for the second principle or fundamental matter of this supplication, فَهُوَ أَنْ يُؤْمِنَ الْعَبْدُ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ. It is that the servant believe in the divine pre-decree and determination that Allah Ta'ala has willed and created and placed in his creation. وَأَنَّ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ. And he affirms that whatever Allah willed to happen has indeed taken place. وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. And whatever Allah Ta'ala has not willed to take place has not happened. وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. And he, the glorified one, has no one to come and reject his verdict. وَلَا رَادَ لِقَضَائِهِ. And no one can repel the affair that he has ordained. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fatir, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ. Whatever of mercy that Allah chooses to open up for the people, فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. And there is no one who can hold that back. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And whatever Allah has chosen to hold back of mercy and not deliver to his creation, there is no one who can force that to reach his creation after Allah. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ فِي هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ. And thus the servant says in this supplication, نَاصِيَتِي بِيَدِكْ. My forelock is in your hand. The forelock is the hair in the front of the head. And it's in your hand. مَاضٍ فِيَ حُكْمُكْ. Your verdict is enacted upon me. عَدْلٌ فِيَ قَضَاءُكْ. Your judgment, your determination is fair with me. فَنَاصِيَةُ الْعَبْدِ. To the forelock of the servant, وَهِيَ مُقَدَّمَةُ رَأْسِهِ. It is the front part of his head. بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. It is in the hand of Allah. يَتَصَرَّفُ فِيهِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He interacts with his servant. He does with his servant whatever he so chooses. وَيَحْكُمُ فِيهِ بِمَا يُرِيدُ. And issues whatever verdicts about him that he wants. لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَلَا رَادَ لِقَضَائِهِ. There is no one to repel, keep away his verdict, and there is no one to keep back the judgment that he ordains. فَحَيَاتُ الْعَبْدِ. So the life of the servant, وَمَوْتُهُ وَسَعَادَتُهُ. His death, his happiness, وَشَقَاوَتُهُ وَعَافِيَتُهُ وَبَلَاءُهُ. His misery, his well-being, his trials that he faces, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ إِلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ لَيْسَ إِلَى الْعَبْدِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. That is all for Allah alone, the glorified one, and none of that is for the servant to make any determination about in any way whatsoever. وَإِذَا آمَنَ الْعَبْدُ بِأَنَّ نَاصِيَتُهُ وَنَوَاصِيَ الْعِبَادِ كُلَّهَا بِيَدِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. And so if he believes firmly that his forelock and the forelocks of all of the created beings, the servants, they are all in the hand of Allah, all of them in entirety. يُصَرِّفُهُمْ كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ. يُصَرِّفُهُمْ كَيْفَ شَاءَ. That he turns them about to whatever he so chooses. لَمْ يَخَفْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ. Then he shall not after that be afraid of any of them. They are all under the control of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَرْجُهُمْ. Nor will he have any aspiration or hope from something good from them. وَلَمْ يُنْزِلْهُمْ مَنْزِلَةَ الْمَالِكِينَ. Then he'll never consider them to be in the positions of owners, those who have status of ownership and in control of things. وَلَمْ يُعَلِّقْ أَمَلَهُ وَرَجَاءَهُ بِهِمْ. And then his hopes and his aspirations will never be connected to the creation. وَحِينَئِذٍ. And then in this case, يَسْتَقِيمُ لَهُ تَوْحِيدُهُ. His tawheed, his worship of Allah Ta'ala will be upright. It will be complete. It will be straight. وَتَوَكُلُهُ. Likewise, his trust that he places in Allah. وَعُبُدِيَتُهُ. and his servitude that he directs to Allah. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ هُودٌ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لِقَوْمِهِ. And thus the Prophet Hud said to his people, إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. I place my tawakkul, my trust upon Allah, my Lord and your Lord as well. My Lord, creator and sustainer, and your Lord, creator and sustainer. مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ أَخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. There is no creature except that Allah has in his hand or has grasped the nausiyah, the forelock of that creature. Meaning he is in total dominant control of all of the creation. Inna Rabbi ala siratin mustaqim. Verily my Lord and Creator is upon a straight path. Being upon a straight path here as it relates to Allah Ta'ala means with perfect wisdom, knowledge, awareness of the creation, with masterful dominance and ownership of the creation, justice and fairness in all of his verdicts. That's the 56th verse of Surah 2, Hud. وَقَوْلُهُ and his statement, مَاضٍ فِيَّ حُكْمُكُ. Your verdicts are enacted upon me or within me. يَتَنَاوَلُ الْحُكْمَيْنِ. This is relative to two types of verdicts from Allah. الحكم الديني الشرعي. That is the verdict that is a religious verdict that one must fulfill. The verdict of obligations and prohibitions. والحكم القدري الكوني. And the verdicts that Allah has issued that shall take place that are from the qadr kawni. From the qadr that must take place within his creation. The birth of this and the death of that and this event happening and that event happening. That which is not connected to orders and prohibitions, requests, recommendations, discouragements, and so on. But that which just takes place within the creation. Both of them are verdicts that Allah Ta'ala issues. فَكِلَاهُمَا مَاضِيَانِ فِي الْعَبْدِ شَاءَ أَمْ أَبَى. Both of these verdicts are enacted upon the servant, whether he submits or not, whether he is in agreement with that and likes that or not. لَكِنَّ الْحُكْمَ الْكَوْنِيَ الْقَدَرِيَ لا يمكن مخالفته. However, the decree within the creation, the likes of birth and death, provisions, deprival, and so on, calamities, he has no say about whether to submit to that or not. He's not able to resist it and to oppose it. Those things are going to happen. وأما الحكم الديني الشرعي. As for his verdicts, which are relative to his orders, his prohibitions, what he has legislated and requested of his servants, فَقَدْ يُخَارِفُهُ الْعَبْدِ. Then it's possible that a servant could oppose Allah on those things and not submit and fulfill his role as a worshipper. وَيَكُونُ مُتَعَرِّضًا لِلْعُقُوبَةِ. And in such a case, he would subject himself to punishment, بِحَسَبِ مَا وَقَعَ فِيهِ مِنْ مُخَالَفَةِ. Relative to how much opposition he has to those orders from Allah Ta'ala. Regarding the statement, وَقَوْلُهُ عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكَ. As it relates to the statement, just is your verdict within me or upon me. يَتَنَاوَلُ جَمِيعَ أَقْضِيَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. That includes every verdict, every decree of his, the glorified one, فِي عَبْدِهِ. As it relates to his worshipful servant, مِنْ كُلِّ الْوُجُوهِ. From every angle. من صحة وسقم. From the things that Allah has decreed of good health and poor health. وغنى وفقر. And riches and poverty. Affluence and poverty. ولذة وألم. And feeling good and in feeling pain. وحياة وموت. Being alive and being dead. وعقوبة وتجاوز. And as well, being punished or being excused. We beg Allah Ta'ala that He excuse us. وَغَيْرِ ذَٰلِكَ and other matters. فَكُلُّ مَا يَقْضِي عَلَى الْعَبْدِ فَهُوَ عَدْلٌ فِيهِ. So everything that He decrees to take place in the life of the servant, then that is a just matter. And Allah Ta'ala has said, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And your Lord and Creator is not One who oppresses the servants. That's the 46th verse of Surah Fussilat. That ends our discussion of the second matter. That is the submission to the decree of Allah. So the first matter is actualizing servitude to Allah. The second of the four major issues of this dua is submitting to the decree of Allah. Wal aslu thalithu. The third principle, the third fundamental matter of the four found in this supplication, an yu'min al-'abdu bi asma'illahi al-husna, that the servant believe in the names of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah, wa sifatihi al-'azima, and the great attributes of Allah, al-waridati fil kitabi was sunnah, those that are established and reported in the book and in the sunnah. Wa yatawassalu ila Allahi biha, and he seek to draw closer to Allah through those names and attributes. Kama qala ta'ala, as Allah the Most High has said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, and to Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Him using those names. So call upon Him using them. وَذَرُ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, abandon those who commit ilhad as it relates to His names. Ilhad can be attributing a name to Allah that He has not named Himself with. Ilhad, it's a criminal form of behavior, a violation of the correct code of believing in the names of Allah. It can be adding or naming Allah Ta'ala with the names of idols, like Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, naming Allah Ta'ala with names of idols. Ilhad in the names of Allah Ta'ala can be denying the attributes that are understood from those names, or making ta'wil of them and explaining them away, making ta'til of those attributes that are clearly established from those names so as not to believe in them. Like those who say, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Allah is Ar-Rahman, the possessor of mercy. The scholars, they say Ar-Rahman denotes the mercy that is universal for all of the creation, not specific to the believers. Mercy that reaches the animals, mercy that reaches the disbelievers, mercy that reaches the entire creation, animate and inanimate. That which is specific to this life. Then, Ar-Rahim, the possessor of mercy. Some of the scholars said, in contrast to the mercy intended by Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim is the mercy that is exclusive to the believers in the hereafter. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, and Allah Ta'ala is for the believers, Rahim, meaning specific mercy for the hereafter, shelter, protection from His anger and His punishment. We ask Allah Ta'ala that He extend His mercy upon us. Allahumma ameen. There are people who say Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim as names, but as for the idea of mercy, mercy, that's not befitting to Allah. Mercy is the leaning of one's heart towards someone, and mercy can be unfair. Mercy can be unjust. So Allah Ta'ala is exonerated above the idea of mercy. Instead, it means iradatu al-thawab, intending to give a reward to that servant. But Allah cannot be described with mercy. These are mulhiduna fi asma'illah. These are some kinds of people who commit ilhad, whom Allah Ta'ala obligates us to separate from them and to stay away from them. Look at what Allah Ta'ala has said, وَذَرُ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Leave alone those people who commit that ilhad regarding the names of Allah. سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. They are going to be recompensed for what they used to do. That's the 180th verse of Surah Al-A'raf. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ دُعُوا الرَّحْمَانَ. Say, call upon Allah or call upon Ar-Rahman, with this name or that name. أَيَّن مَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever you use to call upon Him with, then to Him belong the most beautiful names. From Surah Al-Isra, the 110th verse. وَالْعَبْدُ كُلَّمَا كَانَ عَظِيمًا مَعْرِفَةِ بِاللَّهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. And so every time the servant is more knowledgeable more aware of Allah and His names and His attributes, زَادَتْ خَشْيَتُهُ لَهُ, then he becomes more knowledgeably fearful of Allah. The khashya of Allah Ta'ala is like khawf, it's like fear, but it's based upon knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء, the only ones that have khashya, this knowledge-based fear of Allah, they are the ulama, they are the people of knowledge. They have knowledge of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. وَعَظُمَتْ مُرَاقَبَتُهُ لَهُ, and so his sense of awareness that Allah is watching him becomes great whenever he knows Allah and His names and His attributes. وَازْدَادَ بُعْدًا عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ, and every time he knows Allah and His names and His attributes more, he becomes more distant. His distance away from disobedience becomes more. That gap between him and disobedience becomes greater. وَالْوُقُوعِ فِي مَا يُسْخِطُهُ, and landing into affairs that Allah Ta'ala becomes angry with him because of those affairs. كَمَا قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ, as some of the righteous predecessors have said, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفِ, whoever is more aware of Allah comparatively than another, كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفِ, then he is more fearful of him, meaning comparatively. Every time he knows more about Allah, he becomes more fearful of him. وَلِهَذَا, and built upon this idea, فَإِنَّ أَعْظَمَ مَا يَطْرُدُ الْهَمَّ وَالْحُزْنَ وَالْغَمَّ, the greatest of all things that do away with sadness, depression, and anxiety, and يَعْرِفَ الْعَبْدُ رَبَّهُ, that the slave, the worshipful servant, have knowledge of his Lord and his Creator. وَأَنْ يَعْمُرَ قَلْبَهُ بِمَعْرِفَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ, and that he fill his heart with, he make his heart alive with the awareness of Allah, the Glorified One. وَأَنْ يَتَوَسَّلَ إِلَيْهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ, and that he draw near to him using his names and his attributes. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ, and this is why it said in this dua, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ, I ask you by every name that you have. سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ, you named yourself with that name. أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ, or you sent that name down in your book. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ, or you have taught one of your creation that name. أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ, or you kept that name in the realm of knowledge of the unseen with yourself alone. فَهَذَا تَوَسُّلٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ كُلِّهَا, this is drawing near to Allah using all of His names in entirety. Every last name. The ones you know and the ones you don't know. مَا عَلِمَ الْعَبْدُ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ, the names that the servant knows specifically and those that he doesn't know. وَهَذَا أَحَبُّ الْوَسَائِلِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ, and this is the most endearing, the most beloved way of drawing near to Allah, the Glorified One. وَالْأَصْلُ الرَّابِعُ, our fourth and final fundamental idea found in this supplication, is وَهُوَ الْعِنَايَةُ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ, it is a concern, a connection to, a focus upon, a constant connection to the noble Qur'an. كَلَامِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the speech of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. الَّذِي لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ, that which does not accept any falsehood coming to it from the front or the back. الْمُشْتَمِلِ عَلَى الْهِدَايَةِ وَالشِّفَاءِ, that which contains guidance and healing. وَالْكِفَايَةِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ, sufficiency and well-being for the reader and the one who's connected to the Qur'an. وَالْعَبْدُ كُلَّمَا كَانَ أَعْظَمْ كُلَّمَا كَانَ عَظِيمَ الْعِنَايَةِ بِالْقُرْآنِ, so the servant, every time he has a great level of connection, of busyness, and he being busy with the Qur'an, being focused on the Qur'an, every time that is great in his life, tilawatan wa hifdhan, in recitation and in memorization, wa mudhakaratan, and in reviewing, wa tadabburan, and in contemplation, wa amalan wa tatbiqan, and in acting by it and implementing it, nala min as-sa'adati wa tuma'ninati, then he attains some bliss and some happiness and some relaxation, wa rahati as-sadr, and the relaxation of the chest, the rest and relaxation, the peaceful serenity of the chest, wa zawal al-hammi wal-ghammi wal-huzn, and the doing away of depression, sadness, and anxiety, bihasabi dhalik, based on his level of how great he is focused on the book of Allah Ta'ala and those matters of reading it, memorizing it, reciting it, acting upon it, and so on. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ فِي هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ, and this is why it comes here in this dua, أَن تَجَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِ, that you make, I ask you, O Allah, that you make the Qur'an for me the blossoming, the blooming, the springtime. You know, that early time of the year when everything is growing and becoming beautiful and becoming strong of my heart. That of my heart. The blossoming of my heart. وَنُورَ صَدْرِ, and the illumination of my chest. وَجِلَاءَ حُزْنِ, and the doing away of, the extinguishing of my sadness. وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي, and the doing away of my anxiety. فَهَذِهِ أَرْبَعَةُ أُصُولٍ عَظِيمَةٍ, these are four very important fundamentals of such a high status. مُسْتَفَادَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ الْمُبَارَكِ, that can be understood from this blessed supplication. يَنْبَغِي عَلَيْنَا أَن نَتَأَمَّلَهَا, it is appropriate for us, befitting, that we think carefully about these matters. وَنَسْعَى فِي تَحْقِيقِهَا, and that we work hard in actualizing these four matters in our lives. لِنَنَالَ هَذَا الْمَوْعُودَ الْكَرِيمِ, in order for us to attain the promised result, which is generous, that is mentioned with this hadith. وَالْفَضْلَ الْعَظِيمِ, and this great status and this great bounty that comes with this hadith. وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, that which is his statement, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. إِلَّا أَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ هَمَّهُ, no one says this dua except Allah does away with his anxiety. وَأَبْدَلَهُ مَكَانَ حُزْنِهِ فَرَحًا, and Allah exchanges in place of his sadness and depression joy and happiness. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, and in one narration of the hadith, فَرَجًا, relief of the burden. وَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ نَطْرُبُ الْعَوْنَ وَالتَّوْفِيقَ, and from Allah alone we seek assistance and success in attaining what is found in this lesson this evening. And with these words, Sheikh Abdul Razak finishes his discussion of this amazing dua. And with that, our reminder this evening comes to an end. If there are any corrections to errors that I've made, or important and helpful comments and questions on the topic, we'll look at them at this time. Does one fall into ilhad, that criminal behavior in dealing with the names of Allah, affirming them and believing them, if he refers to Allah as God when talking to non-Muslims? Very important question and a very important issue. If we say the word God, like we say in Arabic, ilah, we say ilahu nas, the God of the people, ilahi wa ilahukum, my God and your God. Yeah, we use this word God as the object of worship. He is my God and he is your God. And this is something that's permissible. But to use it with the capital G as a name of Allah, to say God, as if that is one of the established names of Allah in the English language, then we say no. And when we say the most merciful, we don't intend that's one of his names. We intend that's a translation of a meaning of his name, Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rahim. But not that that's his name, the most merciful. That's an English phrase that carries the meaning of his name, Ar-Rahman. The scholars of Al-Islam, they say the names of Allah, they are tawqifiyah. They are restricted. It is not for anyone to derive a name for Allah or name Allah with a name in another language or even in Arabic, whether they believe that the meaning of that name is good or not. Rather, Allah's names are only established from textual evidences. So to describe Allah as being the God of the heavens and the earth and the God of creation, that's fine. Min bab al-khabar. To describe Allah with uluhiyya, that He is the rightful, worshipped deity of the creation. That's fine. The God of our forefathers, the God of the prophets and so on. But God as a name, then we don't have a text establishing that as a name of Allah Ta'ala. So we should do our best to avoid it. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala knows best. A very good resource for us in the English language is the translation of the book Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla, The Exemplary Principles Concerning the Names and Attributes of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, written by the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. He talks in there about the principle of Tawqifiyatul Asma, the restricted nature of the names of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah may not be referred to with a name other than that which He named Himself or that which His Messenger named Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Barakallahu feekum. Being that I've just come from our respected brothers in Cardiff in Wales, and many of you are with us there this weekend in Wales, and you are witnesses to a great amount of good, it's important, as I mentioned in the beginning of this lecture, that we seek out the very best way of being grateful to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And with the goodness that we see and the cooperation and the coming together and the mutual support, the building of communities that is taking place on a level that we haven't seen, in a way that we don't deserve in reality from Allah Ta'ala, we have to compensate for that. That we turn to Allah and we say, these blessings and these favors that you have bestowed upon us, we don't deserve them. Yet we hope we could live up to these blessings with gratitude, and we hope that we would have an increase in these. And we need to fear, dear brothers and dear sisters in Islam, we need to fear that we take these blessings for granted and they are stripped away from us. We need to feel that we don't deserve them and that they are truly a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. And then we need to fear having them stripped away from us by right, and that we wouldn't deserve to have them and to enjoy them and to continue in them. And fitna can come and overtake us and make all of us enemies one to another. And that we hate each other, and these places shut down. And they are now sold off because of trials and calamities and hatred and animosity. Lawla fadlullah. Unless it's the bounty of Allah that He extends upon us and continues to bless us with. Dear brothers, support your centers. Support these centers. Support your brothers right now in a very specific opportunity that's in front of us. That is the purchase of the building in Cardiff for the masjid, the center there in Masjid Tawheed or Markaz Tawheed. Yeah, Masjid At-Tawheed in Cardiff. At this time, the masjid they occupy is rented. And if it is rented, that means it's on a contractual basis. It's renewed. And the landlord has no obligation to keep renewing that contract. He can review it. And he can say there's too much problems with parking and too many complaints from the neighbors. And he can say, let me just find another tenant. And then that blessing can be taken from us. So your brothers are seeking to stabilize that building and make that building an endowment owned by the Muslim community as a masjid set in place to be permanently there always as a house of Allah Ta'ala. If you wish to aid your brothers in establishing that, then seek the assistance of Allah Ta'ala and send whatever Allah Ta'ala makes easy of your wealth to those brothers for the sake of purchasing that building and making it a masjid. There are always going to be, with the growth that we encounter, there are always going to be invitations to put your money for another project, the building of a school, the enhancement of the school, and something after that. The most important and the most significant of all of those invitations and opportunities to cooperate upon what is most pleasing to Allah is the building of a masjid or the purchase of a masjid to make that an endowment for the Muslim community. So do your best to contact your brothers in Cardiff and say, I have something that I can contribute. Maybe it's not now, but it's later. Contribute to the purchase of that masjid as your brothers are there. And وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. No one is to be praised absolutely. And rather, their reality is with Allah, they are a group of striving brothers. They are a group of hard-working brothers who have the interests of the community at mind. We ask Allah Ta'ala to aid them and give them success. They definitely deserve our support, so let us not neglect the need of our brothers in Cardiff. Can you please advise a Salafi brother who shows nothing but goodness to his brothers or to the brothers in the masjid or the community, but he's very abusive emotionally towards his wife and his children? Barakallahu feek. Naam, dear brother in Islam, as we all work to improve our character, as we all seek to draw near to Allah Ta'ala by improving ourselves, then we remind you, as we remind ourselves, that character has an outer open character. It can be fraudulent, it can be fake, it can be hypocritical. And that is known by how his character is inwardly, how he is with his relationship with Allah, and then shades of that show up with those he is most close to, within his house and within his family. If his character is good, and it's real, and it's genuine to Allah, then his wife, his daughter, his son, they are the best witnesses to that. And the wives of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the foremost witnesses to his impeccable character, alayhi salatu wasalam. His daughters, the children of his companions, all of them would testify to the impeccable and beautiful character of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't be satisfied with yourself that you are kind and generous for a short time with your brothers at the masjid, and you are a demon in your household, an oppressive and transgressive, harmful husband and father. Don't be satisfied with yourself. Remedy this contradiction. Don't become evil with your brothers at the masjid to match your behavior at home. But rather, work at what's at the root. Correct your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah for assistance. Increase your servitude to Allah and your good manners with Allah by asking Him to refine your character within your family, so that they are the first testimonials to your real good character. And it's not for us to be kind and soft and lenient and generous amongst brothers. And when that's mentioned to our wives, they roll their eyes and say, if you only knew. That's a disgrace, and we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection with him from such a situation. Is it wrong to say, inni amatuk bintu abdik bint amatik? I think you missed the beginning of the lecture, right? Faisal? No, not Faisal. What's your name? Zaid. Zaid, what's the answer to this question? Seeking the assistance of my TA here. My teacher's assistant. Is it wrong to say for a woman, she doesn't say inni abduk, but she says inni amatuk, I'm your female slave. Is that okay? Yeah? Naam. Do you know any scholar that said that's more appropriate? Think, Zaid. Anyone remember the names of two scholars I mentioned? Naam? Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, and Ibn Baz, barakallahu fikum. They said it's okay for the woman to say inni abduk. From the generality of the language, that still works. But it's awla. It's more appropriate that the female, the woman, when she makes this dua, she says, Allahumma inni amatuk bintu abdik. Oh Allah, I am your female slave, the daughter of your worshipful servant. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. What do you advise someone trying to change a personality trait which causes them sadness, such as being sensitive? Being sensitive should not cause sadness. And a person who's sensitive, he can use that sensitivity. And sensitivity, if you mean al-haya, yani al-haya is bashfulness and being sensitive and being very shy, that can be a great trait. And the companions used to, in one occasion, in one narration, there was a companion insulting his brother for being mustahi, for being shy and shameful and bashful. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him, فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Because sensitivity, shyness, it's a kind of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِيُّ خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى الْ... No, that's not this hadith. الْإِيمَانُ بِضْعٌ وَسِتُونَ شُعْبًا. Faith is 60 some branches. أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله. The highest of which is the statement لا إله إلا الله. وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق. The lowest branch is removing a harm from the way of the pathway of the people. والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. And shyness is a branch of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised the attribute of shyness. If that sensitivity is connected to delusional fears, you know, khawf wahmi, thinking that everyone's out to get them or something, then this can be a kind of irrational fear and worry. That which is done away with our supplication, we don't want to underemphasize the power and the place of this supplication that we have learned this evening. So be diligent in saying the supplication that you have learned this evening. Can you please advise someone who finds it hard to overcome physical abuse suffered at the hands of parents when they were a child? They don't understand why this was decreed for them at the start of their life. As it has impacted their adult life. Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah Ta'ala alleviate your burden and guide you to what is best for you and to all of that which will be a healthful recovery from the suffering that you have been through. Allah Ta'ala has created us to face these trials. Allah Ta'ala is our Lord and Creator, and you were created for that purpose, to go through that abuse. That doesn't justify any crime committed against you. And that doesn't mean no one is held accountable, no charges would be pressed, and no one would be taken to account for any abuse. But indeed, because it happened, we say, Qadr Allah. That is the Qadr of Allah that took place. That's why it happened. And more details about why specifically it happened, that can't be our stance with how we interact with the calamities of this life. That's the stance of the people who don't know how to interact with calamities. They keep saying, limadha? Why did this happen to me? Why did I lose my husband? Why did I lose my mother at a young age? Why did I lose my child? Why me? And they look up to the heavens and they want an explanation. Rather, what we say when the calamity befalls us, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are the owned property of Allah, and to Him we are returning. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. Oh Allah, give me reward, or give me refuge with you, either way you read it. In this trial of mine, give me refuge with you, or give me reward. Wa akhlif li khayran minha, and give me that which is better than it. Whoever makes this dua, from the narration of Ummu Salama in Sahih Muslim, then Allah Ta'ala will replace his loss, his calamity, for that which is better than it. Whatever that calamity is. You suffered abuse? That's a calamity. You've lost the innocence of a person who hasn't suffered that abuse. Yeah? You've been taught that you entered this world with a clean slate, on a fitrah, upon the way that Allah Ta'ala had created people, unpolluted and untainted. But Allah Ta'ala then decreed, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. His two parents then make him into a Jew, make him into a Christian, make him into a fire worshipper. Allah Ta'ala has decreed things that would take us away from our untainted fitrah that He created upon us as part of His wise trial that He puts us through in order to test us. We are here to be tested. We are not here to demand answers for why we're being tested with specific tests, but rather we submit to Allah and we say, I've been put through a specific trial. And Allah Ta'ala knows best why. But I am being observed and my actions and my statements are being recorded and so on. So don't let your focus be, why is it that I was put through that trial? Because that's the sirr of Allah. That's the reason that Allah Ta'ala knows. And He has not revealed it in a book, and He has not sent you a messenger to tell you why you have been tried like that. So how will you come to know that? Do you demand that Allah Ta'ala send you individual revelation to explain to you why you have been through what you have been through? Is this a relationship of servitude that you demand to know why something happened? Rather, this is the relationship of arrogance that the disbelievers have. The relationship of ignorance, not knowing the Creator, not knowing His masterful ownership of all of the creation. So don't seek out why it happened to you. Quite simply submit to it. It happened. Yeah? And worse trials and worse tribulations have been placed upon others. And for a person to appreciate his situation and to be grateful for the blessings he does have, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تنظروا إلى من فوقكم. Don't look to those who are above you, meaning in this worldly life, those who have had a perfect upbringing and they are rich and they have everything they need. Don't look to them, but rather look to those lower than you. Look to those who are more afflicted than you, those who have been through more trials and more calamities. There are people today, they're displaced from their homes, they're wandering from country to country. They have no citizenship in any land. They're trying to find a place to stay and be safe. They've lost their family members. This is their situation. People wandering around from country to country in this day and age without a country, without a homeland, without anything. Right? When you think about that, you think about your humble home and your car and all of those things that the shaitan would lead you to complain about. And you say, Alhamdulillah, I have istiqrar, I have safety, I have a stable life, I have safety today, I have a place to stay, I have a family, I have not seen my children slaughtered in front of me, attacked and all of that. We thank Allah Ta'ala for His blessings, and our heart bleeds and cries for our brothers and sisters around the world who are facing situations like this. May Allah Ta'ala aid them and grant them a way out. From the guidance of our Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in summary then, so look to those more afflicted and more in loss than you, no matter what loss you've suffered, to consider their situation and to console yourself with that. What advice can you give to parents when the children want to go on a school trip to a theater to watch a play? That they be in touch with the school and request that their child not take part in the theater and the activity in going to the theater to watch a play. Assalamu alaikum. Can you please advise someone who has much free time and how best to use it? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Use it to worship Allah Ta'ala. Use it to gain nearness to Allah Ta'ala, to fulfill one's purpose in this life, to learn the religion of Allah Ta'ala, to learn the book of Allah Ta'ala, to set positive goals for his life and to achieve them little by little, and to be afraid of wasting time with video games and entertainment and time killers, as they say, because these hours of our lives, they are our life. That is our life itself. Every hour is an hour that you don't get back. You can waste money and earn it back. You can lose money and earn it back. You can lose things in your life and earn them back. But when you lose your time, it's gone and it doesn't come back. And that is your life that is gone. That's a part of your life that does not come back. Remember the statement of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. There are two blessings that so many of the people lose out on. They are tricked out of recognizing them. Meaning the shaitan whispers to them to get them to waste these blessings and not take advantage of them. They are, what are they, Zaid? Huh? Free time and? Who can help Zaid? Good health, barakallahu fiqh. As-sihatu wal-faraq. Good health and free time, as collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, salamun alaykum, how to refute those who say if Allah is good, why is there evil in the world? Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The creation of evil is necessary in order for there to be a test. A world of all good and everything agreeable and everything you want right where you want it is no test and has nothing to do with wisdom and the perfection of the creation as a test and a trial for the servants. There has to be evil for there to be a trial. There has to be loss, calamities. There has to be a shaitan. There has to be allies for that shaitan. There has to be opposition, distractions, obstructions from the way, because you're being tested. What kind of test would it be? We have everything we want always. Nobody opposes us. Everyone supports us in everything good. Where's the trial? Where's the test? Does that match the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala to be put to test by being given everything you want all the time? It's people who don't understand the very nature of the world that they live in. And alhamdulillah, the Muslims understand what this world is. It is a test. It is a test despite what the disbelievers say around us. There's no return to Allah. Take advantage of your life. YOLO. You only live once, and so on. These are lies and tricks and games from the shaitan. You live this life to be tested. You return to be questioned about your test. So live in this life like a stranger or a wayfarer. You're going back somewhere to see the results of everything you've done. May Allah Ta'ala aid us in fulfilling that. What do you say? What advice do you give to someone that gets demotivated in some aspects, i.e. lack of things in regards to dunya, seeking marriage or gaining knowledge, etc.? Dunya? In regards to dunya. Demotivated, lack, in some aspects, lack of things in regards to dunya. I don't get the examples. In seeking marriage and gaining knowledge, that's dunya? You mean dunya knowledge? Like going to get a dunya degree or something? Who's the questioner? Anyone here? If you could clarify the question for me, it's not clear to me. I'll leave that. Maybe it's from the sisters. If it's from the sisters, clarify that question for me, please. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it true, if you drink alcohol, your prayer is not accepted for 40 days? Naam, it's true. Naam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that. The lack of qabool here. Oh, I have a picture here. It's for Uncle Musa. Allahumma barik. Please open me with a big smile. All right, there's my big smile. Barakallahu fikum. To complete the thought here, what is it? Yeah, the lack of qabool, the lack of the acceptance of the prayers does not mean you don't pray. Very important, because people, when left to their own opinion, they read that hadith and they think, now I got drunk, I made a mistake, I want to repent and rectify my situation, so now I won't pray at all for 40 days because there's no qabool. Allah won't accept the prayers. The qabool here is two types of qabool. There's al qabool, which is al ijza, that which means you've taken care of your responsibility. Then there's qabool mudha'afat al-ajr, the acceptance, which is the 10 to 700 times the reward, the value from the generosity and the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, is that He accepts the deed from His righteous servant when it's done with tawheed and mutaba'a, with sincerity and worshipping Allah alone, following His guidance properly. Allah accepts it with a minimum reward of 10 times the value of that reward. Up to 700 times, ila al-afin kathira, to many times over that. That's the qabool of ziyadatul thawab, the acceptance of the deed that comes along with the multiplication of the rewards. That's what you don't get when you have become intoxicated for 40 days. What do you get? Or what are you required to fulfill? Al-ijza', tabriyat al-dhimma. You have to free yourself of blame and take care of your responsibility. The fulfillment of the salat at its time properly and so on. That will be accepted from you, meaning you will be one who has fulfilled his obligation. You're not allowed to abandon that. Because now you go from an act of disobedience, a major sin, into something which is considered to be kufr. Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salatu faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The covenant that is there between us and them, between us, the Muslims, and them, the polytheist, is a salat, the prayer. Whoever abandons it, then he has committed kufr. That hadith, with its obvious wording, seems to indicate a distinction between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. That's the line that exists between them. The one who abandons the prayer has gone over that line into disbelief, real disbelief. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. As for this very well written and decorated question from my nephew, or no, it's from my niece here, Fatima. Assalamu alaikum wa alayki salam wa rahmatullah. And there's some thanks there for me. Please, can you do more lessons for children? Me, my sisters, my brother really enjoyed them. May Allah reward you with the best in the dunya and the akhirah. Ameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan. I will try. Zakaria and Fatima and Safiya and Rumaysa and Khadija. And they all signed off. And I've got flowers, hearts, and stars. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. And I will do my best, inshallah. I was very motivated by the eagerness of the community of Cardiff, and now as well here in Slough, with the importance given to families and rectifying families and improving them and all of that. And I think we really missed an opportunity this weekend to do some sittings with our children and to include them. And we'll try to compensate for that, insha'Allah ta'ala, and put into plan a way to release some sittings with the children and make more of them in the future. And maybe in my next trip, insha'Allah ta'ala, we'll plan for some live sessions with our little nephews and nieces. Insha'Allah, may Allah facilitate that. Assalamu alaikum, may Allah bless you. If someone swears, curses, how shall we deal with him or her? Swearing here, I think cursing, you mean using bad language, right? Using foul, filthy language? Yeah? Okay. Then we say good words are for good people and filthy words are for filthy people. It's not befitting that the believers speak with words that are foul. Your messenger, your role model, your example. He was not fahish or mutafahish. He was not a person of foul, illicit behavior or foul speech. He was a man of good speech. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, this is a matter of belief in Allah and the last day, a matter of iman, is that you speak with good speech or you keep silent. Don't be influenced by the foul people around you and their terrible habits in speech. Speak with good speech. And ask Allah Ta'ala for assistance in mastering your tongue. Remember, the tongue is the leader of the body parts. The tongue is the leader of the body parts. In a narration in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah Ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that each and every day, al-a'dha'a kulluha tukaffiru lisan. The body parts, they all issue a severe warning to the tongue. Taqulu ittaqillah fina. They say to the tongue, fear Allah regarding us, فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكْ. We are with you. We are lined up behind you. إِنْ إِسْتَقَمْتَ إِسْتَقَمْنَا. If you establish yourself correctly, we will all be correct. وَإِذَا عَوَجَجْتَ إِعْوَجَجْنَا. And if you are corrupt and crooked, we will all be crooked. So your tongue leads the way, dear brothers and dear sisters. If you speak with good speech, the dhikr of Allah from the morning to the night, good speech to those around you, sadaqah, charity, the kalima tayyiba, the good word is charity, advice, wishing well for your brother, wishing that they avoid evil. Let's try to avoid this behavior, let's try to avoid that behavior. As advice, the deen is nasiha. You will have your tongue full of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala all day and all night, and you'll be free from the destruction that comes for some people. هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Is there anything else that topples the people onto their faces or upon their nostrils into the fire other than the harvest of their tongue? Be warned about this dangerous morsel of flesh. The Prophet ﷺ said there are two parts of the body. right? من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. Whoever can guarantee for me that he preserves what's between his two jawbones, his tongue, and what's between his two thighs, or between his two legs, his private parts, I guarantee for him paradise. Whenever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam simplifies for you the way to paradise with one or two steps like this, then receive it well and say, going to paradise here has been made easy by two matters. Master your tongue and master your chastity. Be in control of your modesty and your chastity, and be in control of your tongue. Go to paradise. May Allah Ta'ala aid us. Can you advise a brother on coming to the straight path when he has just come out of a 4-year-long haram relationship and he's 20 years old? Please advise how he can purify his heart at his stage of his life. Being 20 is nothing specific in our religion, and having specifically a 4-year, advent of disobedience is nothing specific. If you're here, if you're the one being asked about and you're here, dear brother, you're just like us. You are from the descendants of Adam. You have had things decorated to you by your sworn enemy, and you fell for it. And we have all done that. Some of us more than others. We all turn to Allah Ta'ala in repentance, and this is the place for that. This is the place where you come and you gain brotherhood with people who will help you in staying away from those harmful matters. So repent to Allah Ta'ala with genuine repentance, in private, sincerely, with a genuine heart, with a sad heart that knows how terrible it is what you've fallen into, and fears the consequences of what you have fallen into, and knows that he has a Lord that is all forgiving, that even despite that kind of relationship and the degree and the level that you've been involved in it, your Lord is all powerful, all capable, all forgiving. You can come to Allah with nothing in your book but good deeds. You can come to Allah without seeing that at all. And all you need to do is repent to Allah Ta'ala by abandoning that thing, not returning to it, intending at the time you abandon not to return to it. Genuine abandonment. And you have the remorse, the real kind of remorse in your heart, sadness and remorse over what you have done. Again, tarku dhanb, abandonment of the sin, niyyah, the intention not to return, and the sincere remorse in your heart. Naam. And so for people who have been involved in relationships, there's additional things that we have to do to rectify our situation. We have to change the way we interact socially with people, because we didn't land in that except by approaching it from its avenues of approach. We didn't land in relationships like this except that we ignored the correct code of conduct as it relates to intermingling with the opposite sex and approaching the opposite sex and being too loose and lenient and too easy with these kinds of things. That's what landed us in those things. There's a pathway that we took to get there. We have to cut that pathway off from its core, right? In order for us to be sincere in how we're repenting to Allah, we have to cut off the avenues that have led us to that behavior. We have to seek the assistance of those who we see as being pious and being modest and being people of chastity. You seek their assistance and you seek their company. If you could take upon yourself companionship with a person that's a modest person, a person of chastity, and you could be his companion, even if in the beginning you're still struggling with these things, you still feel like, I'm not going to be okay, but I'm going to take this man as my companion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." A man is upon the religion of his close companion. You take his companionship for the sake of Allah, and you ask him to be patient with you because perhaps he might be afraid of some of the evil that you have with you, but you look to benefit from being around him, then you'll find yourself upon his deen, upon his level of obedience, sooner than you think. And may Allah Ta'ala grant you success in attaining genuine repentance to Allah Ta'ala and all of us. And this is what Allah Ta'ala has made easy for us to come together and review of benefit this evening. I thank all of you for inviting me, hosting me, and thinking well enough of me. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive me for that which you do not know, and make me better than what you think of me. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of you and all of your families. And we ask Him that He allow us to come together again in safety and in good health. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My apologies to everyone who has a paper in this stack that I didn't get to. I apologize. But I fear that we go too long and we cause hardships to some of our families and so on. And may Allah Ta'ala grant you all a safe return to your homes.